driven, or called. It's June 29th, 2018. And last week I told you I wanted us to think about whether we were depending on our own strength and set of skills to navigate through this life, or if we were depending on the Lord's strength and support. I closed our time together with 2 Chronicles 16:9, which says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is fully devoted to Him." What a scripture. My prayer is that as you examined how you were moving daily through this short little piece of eternity, you were able to determine whether you were living as a driven person or a called person, or if it's possible to live as both. When defining what a driven person is, it's often stated that it's difficult for them to separate their role from their person, that what they do is indistinguishable from what they are. I believe a healthy way to view that dilemma is to realize that we aren't what we do what we are. The driven person is usually disciplined. They have developed good, positive life skills and are eager to succeed. It's important to note that most of our high-ranking officials, whether military or political or in the business world and in Christian ministry, are driven men and women. It can be very difficult for the driven person to make the adjustment when they retire. Without realizing it, they may have become addicted to the busy, fast-paced public world. But if they are driven for the cause of Christ, there's no need for retirement. It's said that Americans have three idols: size, noise, and speed. Well, I think that's worth pondering on. We're told in Romans to not let the world squeeze us into its mold. But we can become so busy, whether with our career or our kids or even in our ministry, that we neglect our inner world. Excuse me. And if that happens, the pressure and the stress and the pace of the outer world is sometimes more than our inner world can sustain. Gordon MacDonald refers to this as the sinkhole syndrome. Most everyone has heard of or seen pictures of sidewalks caving in with cars that have tumbled into a huge hole. Sometimes even houses have disappeared into the ground. It's a scary, scary, scary thing. Scientists tell us that sinkholes occur when underground streams drain away during seasons of drought, causing the ground at the surface to lose its underlying support. And when this happens suddenly, everything just caves in. We can experience our own sinkholes by becoming so busy and focused on our outer world that we neglect our inner spiritual world. This can happen if our motivation and drive isn't focused on serving others and glorifying Christ. The Bible is clear on this. In Ephesians 2:10, we're told that long ages ago, God planned what we should spend these lives in helping others. We don't have to be in a ministry position to live this lifestyle. And in Colossians 3:23 and 24, we're told that whatever we do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who we are serving. Whatever we do, we are to do it to the glory of God. And whatever job we have, we are to work as if we're working for the Lord. Someone wrote, and I don't remember who. I don't remember who to give credit to, but it's a powerful thought, that we must be aware of the barrenness of a busy life, because it's so easy to slip into that busy lifestyle. And when that happens, we join this generation of tired, worn-out people who are not enjoying the peace and the joy that God intends for His people to have. I believe the secret to a life well lived is to take the time to develop and then guard our inner world, that private space in our inner being where we meet with the Lord, where we worship Him, study His Word, intercede for others, seek His wisdom, and then just rest. Then when we see the Savior face to face, I believe we will hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It's my understanding of Scripture, when we hear and accept God calling us to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, we become called people. Then we become driven to respond to His love with our obedience. When we study the life of the Apostle Paul, we first meet him in the New Testament as Saul, a man driven to persecute Christians. After meeting the Lord, he became a man driven to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is said that he turned the known world upside down with his preaching. I would call him a driven man whose private inner world was so full of the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that we possess as followers of Christ, that his passion and love for the Lord enabled him to endure suffering that we can't even imagine. And he endured it with joy and thanksgiving because it enabled him to share Christ with others in prison, with his guards, with the authorities who were accusing him. And in the letters he wrote to the churches while he was in prison, he encouraged them to be bold in their faith and to not worry about him. I describe the Apostle Paul as a called man of God who was driven to share God's love. We must keep a close watch on ourselves as we navigate this little piece of eternity we call life. And to always remember this is not our home, that heaven is our home. When we remember who we belong to and where we're going, then we will use our set of skills to develop and use the gifts that God has given to each of us to serve others and glorify Christ. Bye for now.